The GAA program with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Station Roundabout Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Burgers Falchi, good GAA and Thor coming Luke Glasgale, not shocked in the show with me, Tom Comack, as always, here on a Wednesday night. We're with you until 9 o'clock, and well, I hope you can stay with us because we've got another good, interesting programme lined up for you. Of course, the Ulster Championship opened up on Sunday afternoon with Tyrone advancing to the quarter final with a 119-113 victory over Derry in Healy Park. We'll be raking over the coals of that game with Eamon Burns of Derry and Damien O'Hagan of Tyrone. Also tonight, coming up on the programme, we'll be joined by Michael McMenamin, who is a member of the GAA football club, and well, they launched their a new exciting plan for the next three development plan for the next 3 years on Monday night. We'll be joined by Michael shortly, and of course, as always, if you do want to speak to us, or you want to contact us, or want to text us, you can do so on 086 60 25000, and if you want to text us from outside the dialing area, it's 003 53 86 60 25000. So quite a lot to talk about, and of course championship action up and running in both hurling and football at the weekend. A lot of exciting fare in hurling, and well, disappointment for Donegal in the Christy Ring Cup in their first round game against Wicklow in O'Donnell Park, despite a gallant performance way over expectations. And under St Donegal gave Wicklow a bit of a run for it before losing. And of course Derry had a big win on Portaferry against Down, which puts them into pole position now. Certainly is one of the favourites for the Christy Ring, and they meet with Donegal on this weekend on Saturday afternoon in Owen Beg. And of course Donegal Minors advanced to the quarter final of the Ulster Minor Championship. Congratulations to Gary Duffy and his team, and well, the Donegal under 20 squad, our team, had a big win over Roscommon. We'll say very little about that, but they got 8 goals down there, some big performances, and a lot now been expected maybe of the Donegal under 20s following that victory from Gary McDade and his team as well. But as I said, it's with the local club action we start tonight, and the Neave Pory Club in Muff, they launched a new exciting development plan covering all aspects of the club for the next 3 years. It's part of a national Crow Park plan, and they're actually the first club in Ulster to do so. And I'm glad to see you joined by club official Michael McMenamin. Good night to you, Michael.
Good night, Tom.
How are you? And tell me a little bit about this plan of yours.
Yeah, well, this year we decided, you know, that we'd sit down and draw up a plan for the club. Club was progressing and increasing year on year. This year we just actually finished a new training pitch and ran a large draw to pay for it, which we managed to do. We felt now at this stage we should sit down and look at what we're going to do for the next 3 years. You know, people in clubs are all very busy delivering day-to-day tasks, but we felt, you know, it was a time to sit down and look at what we're going to do in the future and draw up objectives and hopefully achieve those objectives.
Yeah, and you said obviously club officials are busy. I was just reading your press release on this, 95 different actions identified, so they're going to be busy putting this plan in place too. Tell me a little bit about those actions, or what are the headings you're looking at?
Yeah, well, the club plan, the Crow Park laid down template, if you like, and we got fantastic help from A. Martin O'Farrie, who's an approved Crow Park planner. The 5 areas set down for looking at a club development plan are coaching and development, club structures and administration, finance and fundraising, then facilities and development, and then communications, PR and culture. So those are the 5 areas. And
you would have a lot of those in place, though, wouldn't you?
There'd be quite a lot in place, yeah. A lot of them are day-to-day, year-on-year type of stuff, but of the 95, there's actually 60 new things that we have to do in the next 3 years. So as you said, Tom, we have set a very ambitious target for ourselves, but they can be achieved. Now, a lot of them will obviously be done more so during the winter season rather than during playing seasons, because everybody at the moment is very busy on the playing field and training fields. And a lot of this, as I said, will be done winter month. But they are challenging, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, we are confident that we can achieve them, and that's why we have set them down. And we have given time limits on them, and we have set down who is responsible for achieving them. And I think that's a good idea, because, you know, everybody can be beavering away in a club and everybody very busy, but are we all moving in the one direction? Do we know where we want to be or what we want to have achieved in the next 1 year, 2 years, 3 years?
And what are the six things that you want to achieve over the next, 3 years?
Yeah, I'm not going to read them all out to you, Tom, obviously, but we take
the main ones, yeah.
Yeah, we take the coaching and development. One of the main ones there tries to be concerned to prepare a club coaching plan with the emphasis more on skill development than winning, especially the under 11, under 12 age group. You know, we may not win all games, but we think it's more important to develop player skills. And the other thing we'd like to achieve there would be bring our players through from, say, underage level through to senior level, and that would be very important. And also develop all codes. We have the ladies football and we have camogie at the moment, and hopefully hurling at some stage. We'd also hope to achieve a senior ladies team by 2022. So those are the main things that we have under the coaching.
And just on that, has that been a difficulty, bringing young underage players through from underage to senior adult? Because I know you've had very good teams and good success at underage.
Yeah, we are beginning to bring them through at the moment, and that's reflected on our senior team at the moment. They're a very young team. But we do lose players like all clubs, you know, and not enough come through. And I think if you talk to any club, they would say there's a huge dropout from under 14 to even to minor level. So that's someone we want to address and you know, try and bring more of them through.
Yeah, sorry, I was interrupted there. The other areas that you have in mind?
Yeah, well, the other one, the second one is club structures and administration, and just that would be more, if you say, day-to-day stuff, really. You know, we'd like to increase the numbers involved in different tasks in the club and ensure that we comply with all the regulations and requirements, and to make sure that the club is following best practice at all times. The next section then would be club finances and fundraising. That's an important element of any club at the moment because of the amount of money it costs to run a club. There we'll be looking at new means of fundraising and curtail costs where possible and get the best possible spend for our euro. And, you know, as well as that, try and obtain sports capital grant for future development.
Yeah, and on the development, you have quite good facilities there at the moment, haven't you? As you said,
yeah,
you developed a training pitch now, so...
Right. We're fortunate that we have good facilities. We now have two full-size pitches. We have a small stand, dressing rooms, etc. But we've more work to do there. We priority now would be fencing and ball stops on our new pitch. And, you know, in the next couple of years, we'd look at fundraising that pitch and produce a ball wall for both our camogie players and our footballers, which would be a benefit to children, you know.
Yeah. And overall, how is the club going at the moment, Michael?
Club is going very well. We've an awful lot of children, boys and girls, playing at the moment. And, you know, with this last year, with quite a lot of success at underage level. But, you know, you can't rest on your laurels. You can't stand still. We want to, you know, increase that participation by young people. And, you know, skills level, as I said earlier, would be an important element for us. We do coaching in our two local schools, which also helps as well. Good representation this year. I think we had someone like 18 players from the club and involved in counties, teams or development squads. So I think that's a big representation from what would be a relatively, you know, fairly small club.
And you had your launch on Monday night, and you had a special presentation afterwards to a 1962 Muff Quigley's Boyne team and their surviving family.
That's right. There was a team here formed in the early 62s, just an ad hoc, if you like. Strange thing about it, there was a lady and Mrs. Bradley. She was actually John Bradley's mother. John had played for Donegal.
Ann McCool's, yeah.
Wexford. And she actually told me herself that at that stage there was young people around and they wanted to play Gaelic football. They had no set of jerseys. So she decided to buy a set of jerseys from money she said she had saved from the housekeeping money. And she said her husband Joe wasn't too pleased about it. So that was a real reversal of roles. The woman went out and buying the jerseys.
Yeah, because we have to remember that the Gaelic wouldn't have been in that area really at that time, would it?
No, it's been in sporadic time down the years. For example, in the mid-1930s, there was a Camogie team in the area, in Quigley's Point area, who won the Donegal Championship 3 years running. And the cup, that fantastic cup, is still in the possession of one of the families.
Brilliant.
In the area, yeah. And actually, three of them went on to play for Donegal from that team. They were so successful that no other team would play them, so they just retired undefeated.
Yeah, yeah. And was there many of that 62 team?
There was I think six or seven of them there, and there were some relatives there, and they were delighted with we gave them a photograph. There was actually a photograph of the team. Eamon Haggerty had it, and presented each of them with a photograph, and they were absolutely delighted. And by the way, one member of that team, and we must get a photograph to him, is Peter Connellan, who was a guard in Muff at the time.
Peter now in near Ballyshannon.
That's right, yeah, and who's very much involved in JA Ulster.
Yeah, and of course, father to Damien, who played for Donegal.
Yeah.
So, quite a few of them, I suppose, Gardaí.
There was quite a few Gardaí in it, yeah, there was. About 6-7 Gardaí, which indicates the number of Gardaí were around at the time. And of course, that stage, Gardaí resided in the area, not like now, where they're able to, a lot of them were able to go back home or whatever, you know, so they played with local areas. I don't think there was ever an informal or a foreign club here, you know.
Until Neapodrick Muff, was it? When was Neapodrick formed?
We only came into being in 1989. Yeah,
but brilliant.
Yeah, prior to that, and actual fact, in 1947, there was our Quigley's Point team, which won the Neshoan Championship. And I actually came across a copy of a letter, which was sent by Sean McCool, who, as you know, McCool Park in Ballybofey is called after.
Yeah.
And it was a letter sent out to one of the teams to say he'd been selected to. And if you have a moment, I'll just read it out to you.
Yeah, please.
It's to Willie Harkin, Quigley's Point team. Akari, you've been selected in the Donegal team to meet Fermanagh at Irvinestown Sunday next, the 3rd of April 1949, in Ulster Junior Championship. You will bring with you boots, togs and stockings. Travelling arrangements for you are in the hands of Mr. Thomas O'Flaherty of Buncrana, who will notify you of same. On arrival in Irvinestown, you will report to myself or to Sean McDermott, the county chairman. Inquire where the Donegal team are putting up.
So he had to make his own way.
Make his own way and then inquire when he arrived in Irvinestown where the Donegal team are putting up. And then I think you'll be interested in the final paragraph, Tom. In case you're unable to travel, you're to notify me immediately, giving you reasons. Failure to do so involves suspension according to bylaw.
Yeah.
Especially Lamass, Sean McCool, secretary.
Yeah, that was laying down the law, wasn't it? Actually, I think that is still a rule, isn't it? I think, but it's rarely implemented, but certainly my next two guests, I'm sure they're on the line, they're listening to that, so certainly change times.
A. Martin O'Farrey, who, you know, was county secretary for 5 years, commented that he was glad it wasn't a rule or wasn't applied when he was county secretary because he'd been very busy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so all in all, it's upwards and onwards for Neapodrick and Muff.
Well, we hope for the best, Tom, and at least now we have a plan with a lot of objectives in it, and it's up to us now to achieve them.
Brilliant. And no doubt knowing the committee you have down there, you will achieve that, and the best of luck with it. And we'll talk to you again soon, Michael.
Appreciate that, Tom. Thank you very much.
That's Michael McMenamin, a member of the Neapodrick Muff club, of course, a former county officer, a county development officer and a county youth officer as well, outlining the details of that ambitious development plan the club have for both physical and infrastructural development at the club. So we wish them well with that, and I'm sure other clubs are taking note as well. So that's it on that. So we're turning attention to the weekend, and of course the Ulster Championship got up and running at the weekend. Tyrone and Derry met in Healy Park, 119 to 113. That's how it ended. A lot of people thought it would be a lot easier for Tyrone than that. Though John Lynch, the former Tyrone star, did kind of predict here on Saturday Sport last weekend that he was slightly worried and even went as far as to predict a Derry win. I thought it was Tyrone propaganda, but I don't think it was. I think he genuinely felt that way and was a little wary of Derry. I know Eamon Burns, who we're going to be joined in a moment, was quietly confident that Derry could maybe just cause a little bit of an upset. So I'm delighted to see him joined by your former Tyrone star forward Damien O'Hagan and, of course, by Eamon Burns as well. Eamon, first of all, good night to you.
Hi, Tom.
Good night. And Damien, how are you? Good night to you as well.
Good night, Tom.
Yeah, good night to you. How are you as well? Well, were you as pessimistic, or what was your sense going into last weekend's game, Damien?
No, I fancied Tyrone very strongly for a win, and it was a wee bit hurry at times, but I never felt that Tyrone were really going to lose the game. But you're going in there as hot favourites, and you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But anyway, they did the job on the day, and it was I was surprised by Derry, and I thought Derry played very well, and I think there's a bit more in that Derry team, and I think we've a lot to look forward to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in relation to Derry, no one believes for one moment they should be in Division 4. They just got themselves into a pickle, shall we say, for a few years there. But given the success they've had at underage in recent years, I don't think they're going to be... Well, they have won promotion, but I think certainly they've got quite a lot to look forward to after the weekend.
Yeah, if you follow McCrory Cup football and St. Pat's Mahara and Maher Felt and all, they've been pushing some great young players through there this last while, and I think Derry football is very much on the up, and they've a good young manager and young McLean, and they've a bright future ahead of them. They just have to stick at it now.
Yeah, and tell me, Damien, what did you make of Tyrone's performance?
I thought Tyrone's performance was really, they were hot favourites, and I don't think for long times of the game they were pushed out of first gear, in the fact that when they were got the kick up the ass as regards the Derry gold, they then went a point down, and within 5 or 6 minutes, they were 4 or 5 points again in front, so or 6 in front, so. What I'm saying is, a number of the Tyrone players, wouldn't have been happy with their performance, whether it's their man Mark now, and it gives other players the chance to be better in the game. You know what I mean? Like Petey Hart was off his game, I felt. Niall Sludden, Tiernan McCann, a number of players didn't perform on the day, and still Tyrone went on ahead and won the game handy enough. Especially after Derry got the goal, because that fired them into a bit of life, and that's a good sign. I think Mickey would be over the moon in the way the game handled it, in the fact that Tyrone didn't get it easy, they didn't run away with it, their feet's firmly on the ground, so they don't think they're any better than what they are,
Yeah, and Eamon Burns joins us as well. Of course, Eamon was on with us last week on Saturday as well, was quietly confident that Derry would put in a performance. What was the immediate feeling afterwards, Eamon?
Yeah, I suppose a wee bit of disappointment, because we did go a point up with 8 minutes to go. I know some people would have been shocked by that, but I suppose a bit of disappointment, but at the same time happy that there was a good performance, and probably thinking that there's, as Damien says, there's more in this Derry team this year and going forward. So pleased, but disappointed at the same time. You always go up to Omagh, as I said to you on Saturday, Tom. I've been up there before, 1981, 2006, very much the underdogs, and come out with close victories, unexpected victories. So still been up with that hope, but didn't just manage as well as that. But at the end of the day, Tyrone is a All-Ireland final team last year. They're certainly a top four outfit, and Derry's coming out of Division 4, so there was a massive gap going into that game. So now people are saying maybe the gap's not quite as wide as one would have thought.
And taking the positives, what impressed you about Derry?
There was plenty of positives. Petey Hart was never as quiet. Callum McCaig, I've always regarded him as best man marker, and Derry just goes about his job so quietly and so efficiently. And hardly even notice him in the game, you know, himself, but all of a sudden the game's gone, you realise Peter
he very much lives under the shadow of Chrissy McKing, the brother, doesn't he?
Lives on the shadow, you know. Carr keeps things simple, gives the ball off, whereas Chrissy, I suppose when he gets on the ball, he tends to go on a run, and he's very good at that. And he's got, because he can play centre half back, he can play sweeper, he can play midfield. Carl tends to be given the man marking job, so you know, I'm sure Carl's he's given a role like midfielder, centre half back, be very good. But because he's such a good man marker for Slaneel and for Derry, he always gets that role. So you know, that was a big positive. As I said, Shane McGuigan is the big hope for the future in the forward line. I think he scored 1-6. He took his goal superbly, right at the, you know, with 10 minutes to go. That put it back to level, so he's certainly one for the future. Probably, you know, if to say slight weakness was maybe we just wasn't enough scoring forwards. That I looked around and I couldn't see enough fellas that were going to get the crucial scores. But we competed well at midfield. You know, Padraig Cast, he's a great runner with the ball, and he certainly lived up to expectation on Sunday. And Conor McAtamney, you know, horsed about and did well and scored a vital point as well. So. Plenty of positive aspects, Tom, you know.
And tell me, what did you make of Tyrone?
Yeah, as Damien said, I think maybe you always sort of thought they were playing within themselves, you know. They got a bad start and Tyrone were 6-1 up, and at that stage you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a lot worse than we thought. But they never really pushed on, and all of a sudden they were back to 6-3, and then it was 7-6, very close, you know. And thing I think about Tyrone, like they sort of changed. It seemed that it wasn't at any of the National League games, but you know, watching on TV and listening to other people talking about the kicking game, that Inter just sort of didn't see that, you know, as much as I sort of thought on Sunday. And you know, I was, you know, massively impressed, you know, by some of their forwards' movements, and looked in great shape. You know, Cathal McShane in particular looked so light on his feet, and seems to have you know, just so improve so many aspects of his game. But when I look at that Tyrone team, I'm sort of thinking there's a lot of brilliant scoring forwards in the subs, and they've been used late on. Darren McCurry, you know, McCaskey, you know, the likes of Ronan Neal's left the panel. You know, Darry Canavan, is he going to be used this year, or is he going to be kept at the under-20? So they've massive potential, but maybe not been used in the start. So it'll be interesting to see what they do going forward, Tom.
And did you see anything maybe from a positive point of view in them that maybe wasn't there last year? And I know it's very
sure,
early after one game to say that, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, they went to the Iron Final last year, so that was a pretty good year. Obviously, I suppose after winning three Irons in the last decade, when they get to the final, nearly expect to win them now. But so I think certainly it's a very good panel to work with there. Whether they're, after the first game, you could say they're up to Dublin standards yet, you probably would say, looking at that, probably not. But as I say, I think they're up there, certainly next to Dublin, along with, you know, along with Mayo or Kerry. That they're top four material in my age, you know.
Yeah. And Damien O'Hagan, back to you, Damien. Damien also joins us tonight. And Damien, were you a little surprised that they kind of, not so much went back to type, but certainly reverted back from the more direct style that we witnessed in the National League?
I think just the way the game set up, both teams were trying to get as many men back behind the ball as possible. But I have to say, if I was a Tyrone manager, I would be trying to feed as much ball to Cathal McShane as possible, because he's a monster of a man. And, you know, as a minor, he used to be, he never really started many games, and when Tyrone minor teams got into trouble, the send for Cathal management maybe would have panicked a bit, and the next thing Cathal was introduced, and he often dragged them over the line and got them results. He hadn't the full skills, but by God, he's starting to mature, and he's an absolute monster of strength, and he's all the right hungers for, you know, he's the hunger for scores, he's the hunger for the tackle. He really wants to, he keeps showing all the time, and he's a real competitor up there, and I think you're going to see a big year from him, you know.
Matty Donnelly played up alongside him quite a lot in the league, and they were a good partnership. Matty was slightly withdrawn on Sunday.
He was, but Matty were pretty hard, and some of the other lads were man marked. Matty, teams haven't found that extra man to maybe pick up Matty, and even his younger brother Richie. Now, they're two players that are going to go at you all the time, and that's one thing about Matty. He'll put the shoulder down and he's going to go at you and try and draw the free, or he's going to break the tackle, and you need players like that. And he did a lot of work. He maybe hadn't as many scores as he normally gets, but no, I know what you're saying, and during the league, him and Young McShane were two great target men up front.
So you'd be optimistic, would you? Obviously, as Eamon Byrne says, you know, getting to an All-Ireland final, there's only one further step, but you can improve on that.
Oh, I think Tyrone, you know, they're grounded. I think there's a good panel to work with there. And, you know, there's a lot of improvement. And as I say, I'm sure Mickey's happy where they're at in the fact they're going into the next round against Antrim. And the last thing you want to be going in is winning games by barfuls. And then the next thing, you don't know what has hit you. And you have to come through the tough round, the tough side of the draw if you can, you know, so you know where you're at. I just remember Eamon Bourne's writing about him in a newspaper, and I think it was the same Eamon Bourne that threw the great dummy solo against Down that day in the Ulster Championship. Is that right, Tom?
Yeah, that's him.
I'm sure we bought the solo, even in the dummy solo in the house at home.
Yeah.
From the TV.
Eamon, what's the memory of that? Sorry.
That's one for me. It's a long way it goes. Yeah. It was my first championship season, 1981.
Yeah, Damien has a good memory, hasn't he?
Yeah, he hasn't. So many's a good battle day, and Joan had at that time. I think Damien was maybe just coming the latter 4 or 5 years of the queue when I was starting out, you know, and he was played in the 86 final that day. I was only teenager at that time. But great respect for Damien and that great Tyrone team. You know, they were massive footballers, you know.
Tell me, as good forwards in a bygone era, would you like to be playing now, Damien?
I would love to be playing, because, you know, it's if you have fitness and you're fit to run, and I did a lot of athletics along with John Lynch and Gavin guys like that down through the years, and as long as you can cover ground, it would be absolutely fantastic, because you can go out down the field anywhere you want and build from wherever you want to. You're not under the instruction if you have to stand on the edge of the square or stand in the corner, you know. So it's absolutely great. But I have to say, I thought Young McGuigan, and I watched him playing for in McCrory Cup football, and I thought he's mushrooming fantastic. He's maturing into a fantastic player.
And Eamon Byrne, Eamon, obviously what the doctor orders now is a good run in the qualifiers for Derry.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at now, Tom, and I think everybody's very hopeful that that's possible. The only problem probably for Derry now is it's actually 4 weeks away, you know, because we were the preliminary match virtually in the first week of the weekend of the Championship. We've got a bit of wait till all the other sort of first round matches take place. So, you know, I think if you were Damien McAleen in the Derry team now, you'd actually want a match this weekend, but that's not going to happen, you know. So, but it gives the likes of, you know, Benny Hearn's a big forward for Derry that was missing, and gives the likes of him a chance to get fit again. But no, certainly we're more confident now. You know, I'm not sure whether Super 8s are up there as a realistic possibility, but certainly you'd like to be thinking that Derry could maybe get at least 2 or 3 wins in the qualifiers, and take it from there, see what happens, you know.
Eamon, thank you for joining us tonight. Unfortunately, the clock has caught up to us. My thanks to Damien. Damien, thank you very much for taking our call, and we'll talk to you again in the course of the year. But for me, Tom Comack, that's about it for this week. My thanks to Michael Maguire on sound. Also, my thanks to Damien O'Hagan and to Eamon Byrne there from Derry and Tyrone, respectively.